country.
Oh, yeah.
That you wanna go. I'm going up the country.
Come on.
Baby, don't you wanna
come on.
Go.
Time to get up. Rise and shine. Let's go. Let's get her going.
I'm going to some place where I've never been before.
Speaking of going someplace you've never been before, how's he get that high? Is that a man singing?
It is. Yeah.
It is Arizona Restaurant Week. That is a great opportunity for y'all to, and I'm notorious for this. I have like five restaurants that I go to over and over and over and over again, and I don't get out there and explore the new restaurants. Well, Restaurant Week is an excellent opportunity to do that. I mean, in my world, when I want a good cheeseburger, I go to Handlebar J's. That's as right there. That's about as good a cheeseburger as you can get right there. But if you want to try some of the other restaurants, there is hardly a restaurant in Arizona that isn't participating. Get to ArizonaRestaurantWeek.com, and you can find a complete list of participating restaurants, and they are doing all kinds of discount meal participation to get you to expand your dining experience. So that goes from the 19th, started yesterday, and goes through the 28th. And as you see the names of restaurants scrolling across the bottom of the page, you think, yeah, I've wanted to try that one, and I've wanted to try that one, and I don't venture out as often as I should.
Arizona is a foodie haven for sure.
Oh, man. Hey, did y'all see the dig in downtown Phoenix? They're finally putting a grocery store in downtown Phoenix.
All the apartment dwellers.
It's going to be a Fry's, and it's going to be like, that's going to be a cash cow. They have been grocery store starved at part Phoenix for a long time. So it's right there at Feet in Washington. They were starting the excavations for the footings, and they came across these bricks. And they did a little research, and it ended up being the first fire station ever built, this, which was right next door to the first city hall in Phoenix. So they got through all that, and they kept digging and digging and digging, and then they got to a Holcomb Village that they discovered down there. So we tried to get an archaeologist in today to talk about it.
Ready to talk.
We, Pueblo Grande Museum, they weren't ready to talk. The archaeologist thanked us for reading them and said, we've got to get from the developer. We won't be able to get that quick enough, but they said they will get it, so we will have one. I think it genuinely surprise anyone that hasn't studied Native American culture in the Southwest will be blown away how many people live along the Salt River in 1200 and 1300 and 1400 AD.
If you just go down to the Pueblo Grande Museum, just in the heart of Phoenix, right down by the airport, it'll blow your mind.
I think it's one of the most secret gems we have. And I'll tell you, if y'all haven't been to Pueblo Grande Museum, go. It's definitely worth the trip, for sure. So,
this week in history, kind of a busy week we've had historically. What'd you say that you were talking about the Higgins boats that carried the troops across the channel? How long do you think it took to plan D-Day?
How long to plan D-Day?
Yeah.
I never even thought about it. I thought it was kind of a spontaneous thing, but I guess it's too big of a operation to be spontaneous, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think it took them.
That's
got
to be a logistics nightmare just to feed that many people sitting around waiting to go across.
Wow. I believe what they let us know about, they took about 6 months to do Desert Storm. So I'm going to say 6 months. Yeah.
Well, it was this week. The week of May 20th, 1943, that FDR and Churchill decided that Invasion Day would be May 1st, 1944, almost a year later.
Wow.
Now, because of weather, obviously the invasion didn't happen until June 6th, but it was 11 and a half months prior to launching that invasion. They had decided what they were going to do. What do you think that conversation around that table was like? Imagine sitting there observing that
somber
that decision,
developing the strategy you knew that would take to choke the German machine.
You ever heard of the Ohio Company Charter?
Ohio Company Charter, yes.
King George II of England granted that this week in 1749, claiming a couple thousand acres around the Ohio River Fork. Well, France said they claimed it a century earlier, and the English said, no, it's ours, we claim it, and there you had the French and Indian War.
another good reason for a war. That was in 1740. That was approximately 100 to 200 years after the Hohokam left the Phoenix area.
You think they went to Ohio?
Maybe they went to fight the war, the French and Indian War. I don't know. But think about that.
So on a lighter note, Charles Lindbergh took off today for his Spirit of St. Louis from Roosevelt Field, Long Island, to Paris, France. He was so loaded down with fuel, he missed the power lines by inches at the end of the runway. Can you imagine how different that story would have been if he couldn't have gotten that lift just a hair higher? The 3,610-mile trip took 33 and a half hours.
Oh, brutal.
You think he kissed the ground when he got there?
That's a lot of gas.
That's some lonesome hours out over the ocean, don't you think?
Yeah, true. It's not like a sightseeing trip.
This was 1927.
Gosh. Man.
Mechanics, I do like the old trucks I can work on.
Yeah.
I don't have a 1927 truck.
Right. Yeah.
Much less airplane.
Golly.
A little known tailor in Reno, Nevada got his patent this week. A guy by the name of Jacob Davis on his new system for tailoring a style of jeans he had. We didn't have the money to get the patent, so we partnered with his supplier and buddy, Levi Strauss, to fund his patent.
So Levi got provided the funding and his name.
Mm-hmm. But Jacob Davis was the brains behind the patented riveted Levi Strauss.
Was it the rivets that allowed you to put a patent on your britches?
Right. He had started riveting those stress points because that was where he was getting his return. And that was what he got his patent
for. Where would America be without jeans?
Well, and I don't think Romy's old enough. I don't think Mike's old enough. But, as a kid, when you bought a pair of Levi's.
501.
They were so stiff. They could literally take them off the shelf, shake them out, and they would stand up. But you had to wash them like 15 times.
We used to lay on the bed to zip them. You had to get them on.
You had to wash them 15 times before you could ever really wear them where they wouldn't chafe you right down.
Well, then they started doing the stonewash jeans.
Yeah.
And now they add a little spandex, so now it's easy peasy. Easy peasy.
Liking that.
Did your parents, though, we didn't have much money farming, so my mom tried to make me a stonewash jacket with bleach.
Oh, yeah, well, I've tried that.
Yeah, it doesn't work out very well, does it?
About the tie-dye time. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's pretty obvious your mom tried that when you go to school.
Did she make you wear it?
Yeah, once.
It got beat up and he didn't have to wear it again.
37 years ago this week, Mount St. Helens blew.
Oh, I remember that.
I still remember sweeping ash off the porch here in Phoenix.
Yep.
That stuff circled the earth for days, and it was dark. It was kind of hazy feeling, and I scooped up a dustpan full. It was just the weirdest thing.
It was.
They say it's brewing again. Not that it's imminent, but they're having these little earthquake clusters.
Mount St. Helens is?
Mm-hmm. They've had three earthquake clusters, say that quick, in this last year. Not even detectable, really, unless you have the equipment. But that just is a sign that it's brewing. It's filling up again.
Well, when it blew, you look at pictures of that mountain before and after, that cone before and after. I mean, it's pretty substantial. Well, there were like 30 or 40 people killed in
57.
That. 57 were killed in that eruption.
People didn't believe it.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't leave.
Mm. Mount St. Helens. It's still beautiful when we fly up to see your brother, William, up in Portland. That's still on a clear day, that's one of the prettiest flights where you can see all those little cone snow-capped volcanoes. A gorgeous little flight into Portland or Seattle.
In 2004, Randy Johnson threw his perfect game. Now, a perfect game, it was over the Atlanta Braves. They won 2-0. Is when a pitcher faces a minimum of 27 batters and records 27 outs. Up to that time, only 17 had been thrown, and 15 post 1900.
And you know what?
He was age
Yeah, I was going to say, he was no spring chicken 40. When he did that. He had a lot of games under his belt.
So my first question, when I hear that, how old were the Braves at this time?
I don't know.
Was he facing a bunch of really old fogies?
That's a good question. I don't know that one.
This last one, who cares? It gets off into some... Do you remember the Patty Hearst?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
That was big news in our day.
Yeah, that raid happened this week. 500 LAPD sieged the Compton home complex and calculated an estimated 1,200 rounds into the home and killed six members of the SLA. And Patty was not in the home. She was captured in September, claimed that she had been captured and brainwashed by the group and was innocent of her robberies. They didn't believe her, threw her in the jail, and was pardoned in 2001 by Clinton on his way out.
Wonder what she's doing today.
Patty's father, Randolph Hearst.
Was that father or grandfather?
The story says father. Said the massive attack turned dingbats into martyrs.
So there you go.
So she obviously wasn't representing the whole Hearst family in this.
A week in history.
Have you ever been to the Hearst Castle?
I have.
That's an incredible.
We could do a Rosie on the House broadcast from there, right? That's a house.
That man, I don't even know what to think of it. I look at him like, what a waste of money. Way up here, you've got to build this special water reserve tank. You've got to pipe it two mountains over just to get it here. And I mean, at the time and when it was occupied, you know, when you're driving up and they've got just rows of gardens that you can see are abandoned that they had covered for their gardening, that would have been pretty cool. But I mean, they had giraffes and all these, you know, exotic animals and just exorbitant amount of wasted resources on, you know,
self.
Yeah. It was kind of impressive, but when you look back at it and you think about it, you're like, man, what self-absorbed lifestyle.
It's if you wanna see self-absorbed brought to the max, go to Europe and tour some of those castles that kings and queens and entire families built on the backs. Randolph Hearst built his through free enterprise and being the biggest media mogul of the day. But how about these kings and queens in Europe that are building these castles on the backs of their servants and just raising the taxes so they could gold gild one more statue for the Hall of Statues?
I haven't read it yet because my book priority keeps shuffling. But when we visited, I got a book there called War Lovers. And, you know, just reading the back page, basically the gist of what the book is you know, how much Hearst hated Theodore Roosevelt. But his rough riders sold so many newspapers, he basically gave him a blank check to go, run the Rough Riders.
Oh,
but hated him with a passion.
Well, when we get back, we're going to be talking about the Arizona staycation. Some particularly great testimonies we've received from recent winners. Y'all stay tuned.